Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. Amen. Text for consideration today recorded for us in the book of Matthew 25, verses 14 through 23. Hear these words from verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. God's word is truth. Amen. Going back early in our nation's history, way back on September 22nd of 1776, Captain Nathan Hale was discovered as a spy. And he was arrested by the British, and before he was hung on the gallows, said these famous last words: "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." Is it possible that you would have such a feeling and make a similar statement as a believer in Jesus? "It's too bad that I have only this one life to live for the Lord." The parable Jesus told showcases a big difference between the 2 faithful servants and the 1 unfaithful servant. And what was it that made such a difference in how they acted? It's not really even suggested that the wicked servant was put off because the other 2 servants received more from their master. All of them got a lot. The value of 1 talent of gold in today's money is worth $1.4 million. That's plenty. You're going to be able to do something with that. But look what it says about those bags of gold. The master entrusted his possessions to them. In the same way, God has entrusted his possessions to you and to me. Because after all, the God who created the heavens and the earth, well, all things belong to him. The house belongs to God. The phone belongs to God. The tractor, the truck, the car belongs to God. The kids are given to us by God. Your abilities are God-given. Your finances, they really belong to God. If you can be helpful, kind, and caring, those are gifts God has given to you. If you can be compassionate when people are hurting, that gift came to you from God. And the God who's given you all that you have wants to know, are you using all of it, every bit of it, to honor him? That is good stewardship. And if not, you'll have to answer to him. The Lord is serious about how we manage what he entrusts to us. 7 times in the New Testament, Jesus repeated that hell is a place of eternal darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who rebel and turn away from God. And the wicked servant's rebellion was not dealing opioids that people overdosed on. It wasn't murder. It wasn't addiction. It wasn't child abuse. You know what his rebellion was? Doing nothing. Not using God's gifts for God's glory. His rebellion was, "Leave me alone so I can do what I want." If you have nice things, you know, if you have a nice place to live, if you have a nice truck to drive, if you have a nice television or phone, you know, that's not wrong. That's not sinful. Those are God-given gifts that he's given to you. Take care of them. Take care of what God has given you. But take inventory of every good thing he's given to you and just figure out the answer to this question. How much of what God has given you have you buried in the ground of self-advancement and self-enjoyment rather than directing every gift you've been given towards the glory of God and the good of others? The first commandment that requires perfect love for God, oh man, it buries us in guilt. For we have sinned, all of us. And here's the thing about the 2 faithful servants. I mean, they weren't perfect. They were sinners too. And their story started long before their master went on a journey and entrusted them with bags of gold. There was something that was already firmly in place, something that has already been created inside of them, so that when they were given the money and the master traveled abroad, the first and only thing that they could think about was how were they going to devote themselves to activities and projects that would be pleasing to him when he returned. What do you think that something was? Total dedication. That is the same thing God has for us. I mean, he is all in. He has this total dedication out of love. And when it came to the matter of having someone pay for our sins, there's only two ways that it could go. Either it would be us going to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, or it would be the Christmas story lived out. God chose Christmas. Jesus born in Bethlehem to become the sacrifice for our sins, that he would go through hell for us right there on the cross of Calvary. And now the chains of sin and guilt are broken because of Jesus. And you are set free. The two faithful servants saw in their master his love for them. And that's what they knew about him before he so generously entrusted his property to them. And that love and now trust is what drove them to devote themselves so completely to working for him while he was gone. And of all the things they could ever have wanted for themselves, hearing "well done" from him, that was better than anything. The master's great love, it's also what the wicked servant dismissed as irrelevant and meaningless. Tragically, he thought that he had bigger fish to fry, and that's why then why God had put him on this earth and why God gave him what he gave him. With his gifts and time, he did nothing but throw them in the ground. And see how Jesus loves us so and has given us forgiveness of sins, new life, and salvation. See opportunities to use our God-given gifts and abilities for God's purposes. And know that it is the love he has for us that is the engine that moves us to ministry in our individual lives and together as a family of believers. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for us. And have no regrets. They have only one life to live for the Lord because of Jesus. It's an eternal life that you've been given to live for him who graciously gives us all things. Amen. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.